All right, we're beginning here on the end of Lamed Daled Amud Bet, about 10 lines from the bottom. We're just going over again the support that Mazutcha Breda Rav Nachman brings to his father, Rav Nachman. Rava had queried Rav Nachman about the case in which Shabbat is Koveya for something that does not have a Gmar Melacha. We have two statements here. We have two Mishnayot that were brought in the beginning. One Mishnah that tells us that Shabbat is Koveya. A second Mishnah that tells us that Chatzer is Koveya, but only when you have a Gemara Melacha. So if I combine the two of them together, I would say I understand by Shabbat, and when you have a Gemara Melacha, that Shabbat functions like Chatzer. The question that Rabbah posed to Rav Nachman was, what about Shabbat when you don't have Gemara Melacha? Is Shabbat more powerful than Chatzer, or is it the same as Chatzer? Rav Nachman answered Rava and said that Shabbat is more powerful. Shabbat is koveya even for something that doesn't have gemar melacha. That means that if you have tziot, if you have items that are out in the mukse, that are drying out, and you decide that you want to eat them on Shabbat, that's koveya them for tumot and masrot, even though they don't have gemar melacha. Gemar melacha will be only once they're dried out. Nevertheless, Shabbat is koveya because, according to Rav Nachman, Shabbat is koveya even when you don't have gemar melacha. So his son, Marzuchua, says, our Mishnah over here is a proof to my father. Our Mishnah here that discusses the case of Rabbi Eliezer was standing over the Muksa and says, from here, I'm going to eat tomorrow. The incident or the case that the Mishnah brings down is, it was Erev Shabbat b'Shvi'it. It's an Erev Shabbat on Shvi'it. Why does the Mishnah pick a case of Erev Shabbat on Shvi'it? Because on Shvi'it, there's no Chiyuv, Trumot, and Masrot. On Shvi'it, you are patur from giving Trumot to Masrot, because it says, Vechlu Evyonei Amecha, that you and the Evyonim share in the produce, everything is Hefker, and the only time you're Chayav in Trumot to Masrot is when you exert Balut, ownership over the items, and not everyone is equal in the items. When not everyone's equal in the items, then you're Chayav in Trumot to Masrot. On the other hand, here, where everybody's equal, then there is no din of Trumot to Masrot. So here it is, Erev Shabbat Shvi'it, and he points to the item and says, I'm going to eat from there tomorrow. So he's eliminated the problem of muksa because he delineated from where he's going to eat. Number two, he doesn't have a problem on the next day of eating from it because there's no chiyuv, trumot, and masrot. So what we're medayik from that is, if it wasn't shvi'it, what would be the problem if it wasn't shvi'it? So if it wasn't shvi'it, the problem would be that you're chayav in trumot and masrot. Well, why are you chayav in trumot and masrot? This is something that does not have gemar malacha. It's out in the muksa. That means that it's waiting to dry. The fruits are waiting to dry out. They're not finished. So why are you chayav in trumot and masrot? Ella, must be that Shabbat is koveya even for something that doesn't have gemar malacha. That would be the implications of our Mishnah. And from that, Marzutcha brings a proof to his father. That's Amar Marzutcha, brother of Nachman. Af anan namitanina, our Mishnah. That's the reason that he sets it up in his case is because on Shvi'it, there's no din of Trumot Masrot. Ha! You would imply from this that Bishar Shnei Shavua, any year besides the Shemitah year, Hachinami Dasur, it would have been problematic. My Taimo, Lav Mishum de Shabbat Kava, because Shabbat is koveya, even for something that doesn't have gemar melacha, and you won't be able to eat from it unless you took off Trumot Masrot. But what drove it to have a chiyuv Trumot Masrot? It was Shabbat. It doesn't have gemar melacha, so sir, that's certainly not the reason. It must be that it was Shabbat. I says, lo, shiny hotum. Over there, it's a different case. So since he designated or delineated where he's going to eat from it, he gave it significance. It's not anymore an achilat arai. When are you patur from Trumot Masrot before Gemar Melacha? That is, when you take a snack, when you take something that is not considered to be Kviyot Tzuda. For here, you're delineating or designating a certain part of it that already gives significance to that part. It's as if you're Koveya Tzuda because you gave it significance. So that's the reason why you are Chayav in Trumot Masrot. Not because of Shabbat, but because you delineated it. So when it says, Ihochi, my Arya Shabbat. Why does it make a difference if it's Shabbat? Afilu b'chol nami. That has nothing to do with Shabbat. That on any day of the week, if you designate or delineate a section of it to be eaten, you're koveya. Once you're koveya, you can't eat from it. Even if it's not chayav in Trumot Masrot, even though you don't have gemar melacha, because you have kviyat suda. But if that's the case, the Mishnah gives you an example of Erev Shabbat b'shvi'it. It could have said Tuesday in the Shvi'it. It could have said any day of the week. It has nothing to do with Shabbat. So that's what the Gemara is saying now. Well, we want to solve the problem and say this is not a proof to Rav Nachman, by saying that the reason that it's koveya for Shemot Masorot is because you said something about these items, not because it's Shabbat. Once you do that, then you eliminate the need for it to be Shabbat at all. So when it says, no problem, Hakamashulan, the Tevel Muchanhu Etzel Shabbat. From here you have any conclusion, or you have a chidush that comes out of this Mishnah, which is teaching you that Tevel is not Mukse on Shabbat. Now Tevel should be Mukse on Shabbat. You can't eat Tevel on Shabbat. Problem between you and eating that food on Shabbat is that you have to be Mafrish Trumot and Masrot. Trumot and Masrot you can't take off on Shabbat. There's an Isir Drabbanan to take off Trumot and Masrot on Shabbat because of Tikkun Mono, Tikkun Kli. So because of that, you can't take them off. They should be muksa the gamre. Shim avar v'takno mitukan. So therefore, if you're mitakein it, it is mitukan. The Mishnah comes to teach you that it's not muksa. Tevel is not muksa. Rashi quoted this as a proof earlier on to his position that when you have an Isur Darabanan standing between you and an object, that doesn't make it muksa. Just because there's an Isur Darabanan there, it doesn't make it muksa. Because midoraita, it's completely mutar. And a person has a mind. Why? Because maybe somebody will do something wrong and you'll end up with it, which is, maybe somebody will take off Trumot to Masrot, and then you could eat it afterwards. So we don't see an Isur Darabanan as being a block between you and Muksa. You don't take away your mind, you're not mikatze et min adat. Now, that's only true according to Tosafot, mentioned this earlier a couple of daf ago, that it's not true all the time. Not all Isurei Darabanan are not preventative of making it to Muksa. It's only Isurei Darabanan where the change in the object no longer has the shame on it. Over here, once you take off Trumot and Masrot, Tevel disappears. It's gone, legamre. So in that case, we say there's no muksa when there is an Isur Darabanan between you and the object. Another Isurei Darabanan, for instance, whether you have Basis Ledavar, when it was a chick was on it, Benesh Mashot, so Migadit Katze Benesh Mashot, then the chick gets off of the item. There we have an Isur Darabanan to pick it up for the entire Shabbat. We still say that it's muksa. Why is that? Because the object's name never changes. The object remains in its status throughout the Shabbat. So anytime you have an Isur Darabanan whose status will remain even after whatever Isur Darabanan is violated, that remains muksa and that is problematic. On the other hand, something whose name goes away, its whole status changes after the Isur Darabanan goes away or is overridden, that is not considered to be muksa. So here the Tevel is not considered to muksa. How does he learn that? They learn that out from the Mishnah. But the fact that the Mishnah chose to speak about Erev Shabbat Bishvi'it. So Erev Shabbat Bishvi'it, you should have had technically two problems here. You have a problem of Trumot Masrot, and you have a second problem of Muksa. I took care of the problem of Muksa by delineating the space before anything I'm going to take from here. I took care of the problem of Trumot Masrot because it's Shvi'it. So I don't have a problem of Trumot Masrot. Now I go to another time period that's not Shvi'it, any other year of the cycle, and I did the same thing. So from the Mishnah, it's clear that that would be problematic. It's only because it's Shvi'it, it's okay. Now, what could be your problems in the other years? You have two problems in the other years. One is, you delineated the space, so it shouldn't be Muksa. But that's not true, because it's still Tevel. And it's Tevel, it should be Muksa, because it's Tevel. So you should have a problem of Muksa, and you have a problem secondarily of Trumot Masrot. What the Mishnah comes to teach us is, there's only one problem, that you don't have Trumot Masrot. Because it says here that it works on Shvi'it, it doesn't work the other years. It works on Shvi'it because there's no Chiyuv Trumot Masrot. It doesn't work on the other years because there is a Chiyuv Trumot Masrot. What happened to the Muksa by Tevel? That's the answer. The Mishnah is telling us there is no Muksa by Tevel. Now, what should have it said? As Rashi and Tosafot both point out, that the Mishnah should have separated then and had one machloket about Achana and then a separate machloket about the Trumot and Masrot. The fact that the Mishnah puts them together and doesn't use a Lashon of Zeh Mina Mukhan. That's how the Mishnah could have indicated to you, well, how did I solve the problem on Shvi'it? It says, Harei Zeh Min Amukhan. That's fine. On Shvi'it, you don't have a problem of Muksa. That means every other year you have a problem of Mukhan and Muksa. The fact that it doesn't say that, it says Muta the Gamre, shows you that it's focused on the Trumot and Masrot aspect, not on the Muksa aspect. From that you learn that Tevel is not Muksa on Shabbat. Now, that's the Gemara's solution to the problem, why it's not a proof to Rav Nachman. Where it says, wait a minute, that doesn't work so well, because who's the author in the Mishnah of that position? It's Rabbi Eliezer. And we know about Rabbi Eliezer, Falo Motaro Choser, doesn't the Motar go back? This is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that when you take out a large section or a large amount of items, if you can return them to the original place, then it's not considered to be a Kviat Suda. Shaminan Lohei, the Rabbi Eliezer, Damar Kohecha, the Motaro Choser, Lo Kava. Anytime you have the extra be thrown back, that's not koveya. Titnan, we'll bring you a Mishnah to show you this in Masrot. Yeah, hanotel zeitim min ha-matan. Someone who takes out olives from the matan. Matan is the basket in which you place the olives in order that they ripen, they become soft, and then you oppress them. Tovel achat achat v'melach. You can dip one at a time in salt, vochel, and you can eat them. That's called achilat arai. Again, this is the same thing we discussed in the past. You go out into the fields and you want to pick something from a tree. If you take them one by one and pick them off the tree and eat them, you have no problem. That's called achilat arai. Once you then take them and bunch them together, for instance, you pick 10 of them, put them together in a basket, and then you want to eat from them, that's no longer considered to be achilat arai, because the Mishnah, the word asara doesn't appear, but if he took them and he put them in front of him, then chayav. It's no longer considered to be achilat arai. Achilat arai is like a snack, where you take one at a time, that's it. If you already take them together and make them into a pile, it's already like a goren. And it no longer has a din of arai, but it's considered to be keva, and you can no longer eat it without taking off tumot to masrot. It's important, anytime you're in Israel, going out to pick, that if you want to eat from this, you don't pile them up at all, you simply eat them as you pick them. Once you put them into the basket, or you gather them together, then already it's a problem. But Rabbi Eliezer Omer, min ha-matan tahor chayav. If the matan is tahor, then it's fine. Min ha-matan tamei, it's patur. If it's matan tamei, it's patur. Mipnei shumachzir et ha-mutar. Because then he can return the excess. And we ask them that, maishna reisha, maishna seifa. Why does it matter whether the matan is tamei or the matan is tahor? Rabbi Bo explains it for us. Reisha b'ma'atan tahor, v'gavro tamei. The matan, the basket, has these olives in it, and the olives are all tehorim. The individual is tamei. So when the individual now comes into contact with the olives, they become tamei. So he will not return them now to the matan, because the matan's tahor. If he returns them, he's going to be putting tamei items into the matan. Tolo ma'atza mahadrele. Because he can't return them, that means that you don't have that option. If that option is not open to you, then you are koveya, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Seifa, the latter half for that case, is b'ma'atan tamei. Talking about the basket has tamei already, the gavra tamei, and the individual's tamei, the matzi mahadrele, because then he can put them back. Since he's tamei, if he eats a couple of them and he leaves them tamei, he can throw them back into the tamei basket. It makes no difference. So therefore, you can return them. Both Rashi and Tosafot ask the question, even when he has the tahor matan and he's tamei, when he reaches in to take out the olives, he makes them tamei. So Rashi and Tosafot both answer that when he touches them, he only makes a discrete location tamei, which he can take out afterwards. Or probably the more likely scenario is what Tosafot says, is that he can use pshute kliyetz. He uses a flat piece of wood to take them out, which is not ma'vir tuma, or can have someone else give him the olives from there. Either way, he didn't make the matan tamei, but his returning of the olives to the matan would make them tamei. Now, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. How is that different than the Tana Kama? The Tana Kama says, if I take one at a time, that's not koveya, that's chilat arai, I don't have to take off tumot umasrot. On the other hand, in a case where I gather them together, I pile them up, that's koveya, and I have to take off tumot umasrot, and I can't eat them. Rabbi Eliezer says, even when you pile them up, you can eat them as an achilat arai, because when you pile them up there, you eat them, sometimes you only eat a portion of them and throw the rest back into the basket. The fact that you can throw the remainder into the basket makes that it's not keva until you make it into a keva. But just the fact that it's a pile there doesn't indicate you can eat all of them. It might be that you eat one or two of them and throw the remainder back. Because of that, it doesn't have kviut and it's considered to be achilat arai still. Now, that's only true when you have the ability to throw them back. When's that? When there's no discrepancy between the tuma and tahara of the object that you have and the basket. So in that case, you can throw it back. You can take the tamei stuff and throw it into the tamei basket, fine. When it's tahor, tahor, fine. But if you have tamei olives here and the basket's tahor, you can't throw them back. Even Rabbi Eliezer agrees it's kavua because you can't throw them back. So you're going to have to use all of them. That makes it into a kviut. So now the Gemara says, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is the same situation, which is in the Mishnah, he delineates a fixed amount of the muksa that he's going to eat from. So now you said to me, that's koveya. Because he delineated and gave it significance, that's koveya. According to whom? That's true according to the Tana Kama. For Rabbi Eliezer, that is not true. For Rabbi Eliezer, just because you designated a pile doesn't automatically make it into kviyut. Right, you may not eat the whole thing. You may not take all of these things from the ktsiyot, and you can throw them back, and you can leave them there. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the shitato, this answer doesn't work. And that's what the Gemara says now. Now, matnita nami b'mukse tahor ve gavra tamei. Talom matzi ma'adrele. They say, no problem. our case in the Mishnah is a case where even Rabbi Lezer will agree, which is that the case is the Mukhsa is Tahor, and the individual is Tameh. So when he pulls them out, he delineates them, then he's going to make them Tameh, he can't return them. So Gemara says, doesn't work here, because Alo Mukhsarim Vom Dimei. Well, how did Rabbi Eliezer say you delineated in the Mukhsa? He didn't say you have to take them out. He didn't have to say you touched them. You simply just said, I'm going to take from here tomorrow. So now, you're going to tell me that Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that's Koveya? Why? Because you can't throw them back because you're Tameh? What do you mean? You never came into contact with them. You simply delineated which ones you were going to take. Not even which ones. You just say, I'm going to take from the Mukhsa tomorrow. So he didn't do anything that came into contact with the objects to make them Tameh, to say you can't return them. They're sitting in the Mukhsa. So if they're sitting in the Mukhsa, as if they're already there, still there until you take them out. So even according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if you have a gavra that's Tameh and the Mukhsa is Tahor, still over there, there is no kviyut.
There's no actions really.
Right. Nothing's done to them to make them Tameh, physical action, and therefore you can return them. They're as if they're returned already. Gemara says, this answer is problematic. Marzutra Bayer of Nachman tried to bring a proof to his father by saying that our Mishnah is saying that Shabbat is Koveya. That is what's the deciding point here. The Gemara doesn't want the Mishnah to be approved to Rav Nachman, so it said, no, that's not the case. The case is a case where he, by delineating it, made it significant, and that's what's Koveya. So we had a problem with that. Shabbat Chol, we came up with the Chiddush, that it's Tevel's Mukhan, and that's why they said it that way. Okay, but you still have a separate problem, which is, this is in Shita Rabbi Eliezer, and in Shita Rabbi Eliezer, that's not Koveya. And so this whole answer does not work. So now we're going to attempt a different answer to explain the Mishnah that will not be like Marzutra Breder of Nachman, which is Ella Amar of Shimi Barashi, Rabbi Eliezer Kamart, Rabbi Eliezer Litame. You're talking about Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah? That's Rabbi Eliezer Lishitato. Damar Truma Kav'a V'Koshken Shabbat. He has a Shita that Truma is Koveya, and certainly Shabbat will be Koveya. What's that? It's not. Another Mishnah in Masrot. Perot Shetarman Ad Shelo Nigmaram Lachtan. If you took off Trumot from Perot before they reached Gemara Melocha, usually you only take off Trumot once you hit Gemara Melocha. Here this person went ahead and took off Trumot before the Gemara Melocha. What are the implications for Masrot in that he did that? Rabbi Lezer Oser Lachol Mehen Arai. Once you've done that, Rabbi Lezer says you are Koveya them. That's it. It's over. Once you took off Trumot, that is a Kviyot, and that finishes it off, and you have to take off Masrot now in order to eat them. Chamim Matirim, Chamim say no. He did it before Gemara Melocha. That has no impact. Doesn't have impact. You can still eat from them. Arai. But what you see from this is that Rabbi Eliezer believes that Truma, even before Gemara Melocha, is Koveya. So what are we going to say now? Rabbi Eliezer believes Truma is Koveya and Shabbat is Koveya. Enoch Anami, you're right. Marzutra Breder of Nachman, you're right. The problem here is Shabbat. Shabbat was Koveya. But that's Rabbi Eliezer the Shitato. The Chachamim believe Truma is not Koveya, and so too Shabbat will not be Koveya. So we hold like the Chachamim. Rabbi Lezer is a support for your father's position. But Rabbi Lezer is a Yechidah. So that doesn't help you, because the Chachamim argue on that position. And so then why does that help you? So Gemara says, okay, wait a minute. Tashma Misefa. What about the latter half of our Mishnah? In our Mishnah here, we have a machloka between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. Even the Chachamim will argue on Rabbi Lezer, don't argue on his fundamental points, they only argue on one thing, which is what's considered to be a kviyut, what is considered to be a delineation. Rabbi Eliezer says, you just have to say, I'm going to eat from here tomorrow. Chachamim say, no, you have to say, I'm going to eat from here to here. You have to designate which ones. Their machloket is about breira, not about anything else fundamentally in the Mishnah. So now, Chachamim or Mim, Ad Shir Shom, V'yomar, Mikan Vad Kan. Taimo, again, then you can be Medayek. Why do the Chachamim say it works over here? Because it's Erev Shabbat Bishvit. Delav Bari Surehu. Because you don't have to take off Shemot Masorot. Ha Bishar Shnei Shavua, Debnei Isurei Ninhu. The rest of the years, meaning the rest of the cycle besides Shvi'it, then Asurim, my time. What's the reason? La Mishum de Shabbat Kava. It's because Shabbat was Koveya. Again, this would be a proof to Rav Nachman that Shabbat is Koveya even when you don't have Gemara Melocha. Because the Chachamim are saying that here in the Mukhsa, where you don't have Gemara Melocha, on Shvi'it it works, but non-Shvi'it years it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because obviously something was Koveya here. What was Koveya? Shabbat. Mar says, lo, we'll give the same answer we gave before. Shani Hotam came into Amar Mikan, Vadkan, Ani Ochel, the Machar, Kovale. Here he was Koveya them. He delineated them. Mar says again, Ihochi, my Arya Shabbat, Afilu Bechol Nami. If that's the problem here, Shabbat is not unique in that way. If you delineate or designate these items and that gives it Kviyut, it's irrespective of whether it's Shabbat. Even on Chol, that should be the case. So why does the Mishnah mention Shabbat? Hakamashalan, the tevel muchanu etzel Shabbat, shumavar vitikno mitukan. So that tevel is considered to be muchan. Tevel is not mukse on Shabbat, because if someone violated the Issur d'Rabbanan, they would be mitukan, and therefore a person doesn't yet go out of his world on Shabbat, and it's not mukse. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, should have asked now again. What is the Gemara going to say now? Ah, v'hamotaro choser. That's what they asked last time. That doesn't work over here, because that's only Rabbi Elezer, the Shittato. Here we have the Chachamim, so you don't have that question anymore. Now you can stay with this answer. This answer suffices here for the Chachamim, because according to the Chachamim, this is Koveya. When you delineate, especially the way Chachamim do it, you say from here to here, that's going to be, then for sure it's Koveya. And according to the Shittat Chachamim, not like Rabbi Eliezer, where we don't worry about Motoro Chazer. As soon as you pile it up, like the Tanakhama said, that's enough to be Koveya. And once it's Koveya, then you're Chayav in Shumoto Masrot. So the answer is, why are you Chayav in Shumoto Masrot? Because you were Koveya. You delineated it. Ah, that could be true on Chol as well. Why did the Mishnah mention Shabbat? It's Erev Shabbat. Because it wants to teach you that Tevel is not Muksa on Shabbat. The only standing between you and these objects is the Shumoto Masrot, not Muksa. Muksa is gone because Tevel is not considered to be Muksa on Shabbat. So there we eliminated the proof to Rav Nachman's position from our Mishnah, and that's how the Gemara knocks off this proof that Mar Zutra brought. So now the Gemara says, Viraminhi, Haya Ochel Be'eshkol. He was eating a bunch of grapes. V'nichnas Migida L'chatzer. And he walks in from the garden into his chatzer. Now, in terms of being koveya for Trumoto Masrot, you need two things. You need Gemar Melocha, you need it to reach the end point of its processing, plus you need Re'iyat Pnei Abayit, or Re'iyat Pnei Achatzer. It has to see the house, or it has to be brought into the house, or into the chatzer. That is koveya. Now, you can have alternatives to be koveya. There are other items that are koveya, which we're going to see in the Gemara. There are other ways to be koveya, but if you want it to be koveya by Re'iyat Pnei Achatzer, or Re'iyat Pnei Abayit, that only happens when you already have Gemar Melocha. Now over here, he's eating the grapes. Here, the Eshkol doesn't have technically a Gemar Melocha because most people would not eat the grapes at this stage. Most people would take the grapes either to press them into wine or make them into raisins. The fact that he's eating them means that it's before Gemar Melocha.
The main purpose of grapes was for either raisins.
That is true. Grapes were not just to be eaten as a fruit. Today they grow grapes specifically to be eaten as grapes. Over there, they were used for pressing into wine and for raisins. And it's the same reason by all these other items, there is no refrigeration. So you would never grow grapes to eat them because you can't sustain them. You can't keep them. So you either have to dry them out so that you can store them, or you press them into wine, which also over time ferments, and that's how you keep them. So nobody made grapes for eating. By definition, it's not Gemar Melocha because grapes were never made for eating. Walking into the Chatzer is Koveya because that's Riyat Pnei Abayit. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yigmor. Eliezer says he can finish them up. Why? Because he started in the Sadeh where he didn't have Riyat Pnei Abayit. So just because he walks into the Chatzer while he's eating them is not Koveya. They have to be brought in first and then only started. Then is it Koveya. Rabbi Shua Amer, lo yigmar. You can't finish them off. Why can't you finish them off? Because you walked into the Bnei Abayit, and that makes it Koveya. Similar situation in Choshcha B'Leilu Shabbat. He was eating going into Shabbat. He was on Erev Shabbat, he's eating going into Shabbat, and it went dark, and now it's Shabbat. We know that Shabbat is Koveya. So again, Rabbi Lezer Amer, yigmar, you can finish off the grapes. Since you started them before Shabbat, you can finish them off, even though Shabbat came. Rabbi Shua Amer, lo yigmar. Rishua says you can't finish them off, you can't finish the grapes, because Shabbat made it into a kviyut, and that's a problem. You can't eat from the marai without taking off Matrumota Masrot. So now you have here a position within Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer over here says that when Shabbat comes, it's not Koveya. Shabbat doesn't change the status of the item. You just said before from the Mishnah about Truma, so you said that I'm going to extrapolate from Truma. I'm going to say just like Truma is Koveya, so too Shabbat is Koveya for Rabbi Eliezer. Here I have a Mishnah which says, no, that Shabbat is not Koveya. You entered in with the grapes coming into Shabbat. Shabbat doesn't change the status of the grapes. So Gemara says, Hotom Kedetani Taimo. Over there we have a reasoning that's given. Rabbi Natan Omer, this is not part of the Mishnah. This is only found in the Tosefta. Rabbi Natan Omer, Lo Kisha Amar Rabbi Eliezer Yigmor, B'chatzer Yigmor. When he says you can finish it off, he doesn't say you can finish it off while you're in the Chatzer. Eliyotzei L'chutz, L'chatzer V'yigmor. When he says, all he says is you have to suspend your eating while you're in the Chatzer. But as soon as you exit the Chatzer, you can continue eating your grapes. All he says is that your entrance into the Chatzer is not Koveya, so that if you leave the Chatzer, you can continue eating your grapes. What he doesn't say is you can eat them in the Chatzer. The case is basically you're taking them back to their previous status. your status hasn't changed because you only temporarily entered the chatzer and then you exit again. Same thing. Velo kishamar igmor b'shabbat igmor ela mamtin lemotzei shabbat v'igmor. And also by Shabbat, he doesn't mean that when you enter into Shabbat, you can eat them now on Shabbat. He just says all you have to do is suspend your eating till after Shabbat. Soon as Shabbat is over, then you can continue eating them. Shabbat is koveya, but it's only koveya on a temporary basis until after Shabbat. Now, Rashi and Tosafot discuss here, well, how is this different than the case before where the kid buried it in the ground, and then Shabbat came, and we said then after Shabbat, you still have to take off Shumot Masrot. Once Shabbat is koveya, it's over. So the difference is whether you specifically were koveya or miyached them for Shabbat. If you intended the fruits to be for Shabbat, Shabbat is koveya, and you can't undo that. That's it. It's done. So in that case, the children hid it to use it on Shabbat. So since they specifically designated it for Shabbat, then Shabbat is koveya, and even after Shabbat, you can't undo that. Over here, he has no intent for Shabbat. He doesn't even want to eat these grapes in Shabbat. His whole intent was just to eat the grapes. Shabbat happened to happen, meaning that it just came across while he was eating the grapes. So that Shabbat suspends his eating of the grapes, but then as soon as Shabbat is over, he can continue to eat the grapes. Shabbat is not koveya there in a permanent way, only in a temporary manner. So that's the answer. The answer before is that Rabbi Eliezer, by the Mishnah of Truma, says Truma is koveya and so Shabbat is koveya. That is when you bring the objects in or you're just having them for Shabbat. Then Shabbat is koveya. Over here, where you had no intention for them for Shabbat, Shabbat's not koveya over here because you just happen to cross over Shabbat. And over here, it's only koveya temporarily. He agrees Shabbat is koveya, but it's not koveya permanently. It's koveya temporarily. So Shabbat is always koveya. Just a question of what the extent of that kaviyut is. Is that kaviyut a temporary suspension, which means that you can't eat it for Shabbat and then you continue afterwards? And that's what's meant in this Mishnah that Rabbi Notan says. You can't eat over Shabbat, you continue afterwards. Grapes he's eating don't have gemar malacha. He's still saying that Shabbat suspends them temporarily because even though they have gemar malacha, there's a temporary suspension because he didn't intend them to be for Shabbat. So the problem is only a question of whether it's intended for Shabbat or not intended for Shabbat. That tells you the influence Shabbat has over the object. What Shaul is pointing out, which is correct, is that if they had a gemar malacha, then Shabbat would be koveya. That we already established from the two Mishnayot before. That the gemar didn't have a question about, that Shabbat is definitely koveya when it comes to something with a gemar malacha. Something without a gemar malacha, that's where we had the question about whether it's koveya or not koveya. All right, now, ki ato ravin amar Rabbi Yochanan, echad Shabbat, ve'echad Shuma, ve'echad Chatzer, ve'echad Mekah. All of these items, kulam in kovim elo bedavar shenigmara melachtan. Only if you have gemar malacha, do any of these items help. Shabbat, which we've been discussing until now, this is against the position of Rav Nachman. Obviously, it's not against Rav Nachman because this is Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan lives before Rav Nachman, so he's obviously not addressing Rav Nachman directly. But here is the halacha based in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nachman's in Bavel. Here, Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael says that Shabbat is not koveya unless you have gemar malacha. Number two, when it comes to truma, that was the Mishnah we had between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim before. Truma is not koveya unless you have gemar malacha. You take off truma before gemar malacha, it's also not koveya. Echad chatzer. Chatzer, we spoke about before, that was Mishnah before, that if you bring something into the chatzer when you don't have gemar malacha, it is not koveya. And the last one is mikach, is transaction. If you do a transaction, there is a kviyut automatically through a transaction. Again, that's only true when you have a gemar malacha. And now the gemara is going to go through each of these items to show you Rabbi Yochanan is making the statement of halacha is kacha to go against a position or to show one position is wrong. So he says Shabbat. Why does he say Shabbat is only koveya by gemar malacha and not by a case where you don't have a gemar malacha? Lafuke mi de Hillel. This comes to exclude the position of Hillel. Titania, we have a braita. Amer peirot mimakom lemakom. Person who is osef, brings together peirot from place to place. Here, the Tosefta says liktzor in our gemara. Makes no sense to say liktzor. It's probably a mistake and should have said liktzot. So either the word shouldn't be here at all, or the word should be liktzot. Liktzot means that he's taking them from place to place to put them into the mukzeh. So he has piles and then he's mukking them to the mukzeh. V'kadash aleihem ayom. And sure enough, Shabbat came in. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hillel le'atzmo oser. Hillel himself says that they are oser. What is Hillel saying? Even though you don't have gemar malacha, Shabbat is koveya. But the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says that Hillel himself believes that means that everybody else argues on Hillel and don't believe what Hillel says. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is coming to say. The halacha is not like Hillel. The halacha is like those that argue on Hillel, that Shabbat is not koveya unless you have gemar malacha. Without gemar malacha, Shabbat is not koveya. Tosafot over here raises the issue, why didn't the Gemara here say this is Lafukei mi Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer also believes that Shabbat is Koveya even when you don't have Gemara Melacha. So Tosafot says that they didn't have to say that because Rabbi Eliezer is Shemuti Hu, and therefore we do not pass like Rabbi Eliezer anyway. So the fact that Rabbi Eliezer holds that, you don't need Rabbi Yochanan to come to tell you that that's not the case because we wouldn't pass like him anyway. By Hillel, where there's a possibility we would pass him like him, there you have to tell us that the Locha is not like Hillel. And be even dayek, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says La'atzmo means Hillel is a dat yachid and not the dat ha-rabim. Chatzer, why does he say that a chatzer is not kovei unless you have gemar malocha? That's a fukei mit Rabbi Yaakov. It comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Yaakov, it's none. Ha-mavir te'inim b'chatzero l'ktzot. So here again, by the way, here's the word l'ktzot. That's what should have been in that previous tosefta that we quoted. That's the normal way. And true, the word probably should have been possibly ma'avir and not me'amer, even though you could fit ma'amer. Ma'amer means he gathers them together in a pile. Ma'avir is probably the more likely word that you want to use here. He's transporting them, he's moving them to put them into the muksa. By doing that, where's the muksa? It's on his roof. It's in his backyard. So he has to pass through the chatzer, he has to pass through his house in order to do that. So he has riyat pnei chatzer at a time when there is no gemar malacha, because he's going to put them out to dry. So ma'avir teinim b'chatzero l'ktzot, banav u'bnei beito ochlim mehen arai u'btumim min ha'maser. That's what we saw before, that his children can take from them and eat them because for them it's arai. They're just pulling them away. There's no gemar malacha here, and there's no riyat pnei abayit because you didn't have gemar malacha when you went in. V'tani ala, Rabbi Yaakov mechayev, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda poter. So here we have a machloket about whether that's true. Rabbi Yaakov says you are chayav in Shemot HaMasrot. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says you're patur. Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says Halacha is not like Rabbi Yaakov. Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that you are patur and you don't have to take off Shemot HaMasrot because it's still considered to be arai because you don't have Gemar Malacha and therefore the chatzer is not koveya. Alright, now next is Truma. Afuke mid Rabbi Eliezer. Over here, Truma comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, over here, you are excluding Rabbi Eliezer. That's why Tosafot says, well, even though I have an answer why they didn't mention Rabbi Eliezer before, over here they do mention Rabbi Eliezer, even though the Lalacha is not going to be like him. So here, over here, he says they couldn't find another Tano that argued. He's the only one who says that Truma is Koveya, so that's why the one he has to be excluding, or the one that he's saying the Lalacha is not like. The Balamor has a different approach here. The Balamor says that anytime there was a Stam Mishnah that supported one of these positions, that's where he had to come to say that it's not the case. So before, our Mishnah, or the Mishnayot, were not Stam like Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, it didn't mention him. Over here, you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer. And since you have a Stam Mishnah like Eliezer, which we don't have, the others point out that we don't have this Stam Mishnah that the Balamor is speaking about, but he claims there was a Stam Mishnah that had Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in it. Here we have the Mishnah that we quoted before, at the time, Perot Shit Raman, Achlo Nigmra Melachtan, Perot, which he took off Shumot before Gemar Malacha, Rabbi Eliezer Oser Lechol Mehen Arai V'Chamim Matirim. It's obviously not a Stam Mishnah, but he claimed there was another Stam Mishnah that did support Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. That's where Rabbi Yochanan comes to say, Halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Truma is not Koveya when you don't have Gemar Malacha, like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Eliezer. Next, Mikach, transacting. Titania, we have a bright Lokeach Teinim Me'am Aretz B'Makom Shro Bnei Adam Dorsim Ochel Mehen Arai U'Masran Demai. Person who buys teinim, he buys figs from an alma aretz in a place where most people, what do they do with their figs? They press them. They press them means that they're going to dry them out, they're going to press them. It means you don't have gemar malacha here. He can eat from them arai, umasran demai. Number one is he can eat from them on a temporary basis because there's no gemar malacha here and transacting without a gemar malacha does not koveya. Number two is you can masran demai. You can assume that the alma aretz took off chumot and masrot and you have to take off maser misafek, not vadai. Now that's amazing, and we're going to see this in a second. Shema mina tlat. From this you conclude three things. Shema mina mikach eno kovat el bedavar shigmar melachto. That transacting only helps when you have gemar melachah, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan told us, and that's true from this braita as well. The transaction happened before gemar melachah, and that's why it's not koveya, because you can eat from them arai afterwards. Number two, shema mina rov amayaretz masrin hein. The rov amayaretz are taking off masrot. That's why we assume that you could take off demai. When you purchase things from an amayaretz, you don't have to take off truma. You only have to take off masrot. Get rid of the trumat maser. That's really why you have to do that. And those masrot you can keep because the motzi mechaver olavarai, because the assumption is rov amayaretz are masrim hein. Other places, Rashi talks about it being a super rov. It's not just simply a 50-50 or just over the barrier. It's literally a rov, a real good rov. We're going to see the next Shema Minah, and we'll come back and explain why you have to say that. The Shema Minah, the last one, which is a difficult one, which is Masrin Demai Me'amei Aretz Afilu B'Dvar Shlo Nigmaram Lachto. That you Masir Demai, even from Me'amei Aretz, when something does not have Gemara Malacha. Most people only mafresh trumot to masrot when you have gemar melacha. So now you're making two assumptions here. Number one assumption is you're making that the amar is mafresh trumot to masrot. And number two is you're saying that he did it even before gemar melacha, which seems very strange. Why would he take it off before gemar melacha? So you might have to say that because he's an amaretz, he doesn't know, and therefore he's taking off the trumot to masrot before gemar melacha. That's maybe the proof to the previous statement. How do you know that rov amaretz masrim is a super rov? Because if you were to say that it's only a 50-50 rov, or just over the line, then if you were mitzdaref the two things together, you say 50-50, that they took off trumot to masrot. In addition to that, oh, they take off before gemar melacha. But there's a miut who don't take it off before gemar melacha. If you're mitzdaref the miut to the 50-50 that take off trumot to masrot, then you have the majority not taking off trumot to masrot. So how do I know I have a super rov over here? The super rov is because I'm not mitzdaref the miut that don't take off before gemar melacha and say that it doesn't work over here. That means it must be that the fact that amayaretz take off is a super rov, not just a regular rov of 50-50. So here are your three conclusions from here. And this comes to exclude from another Mishnah that we have, this Mishnah that says that mikach, that transacting, works even without a gemar melacha, which is hamachlif perot, this is bartering. This is evidence of the tax code that bartering is considered to be a transaction, and you have to pay taxes on it. Hamachlif perot im chaveru. If you swap, you barter fruits with your friend. Zelechol vezelechol. You intend to eat it, and they intend to eat it. Zelektzot vezelektzot. You intend to put it in the muksa, and they intended to put it in the muksa. So here, by the way, already here, you have a problem in this Mishnah. What zelechol vezelechol means, they're intending to eat it. That's it. That's the end of the line for this. That's the gemar melacha. So fine, you're done. You're done with it, and you both chayav and trumot masrot. You have gemar melacha, plus you have a transaction. Assuming that the achilah here is a normal course, not like we said before, the shul pointed out with the grapes, that in the grapes, it's, even eating them is not considered to be a gemar melacha, because that's not the normal end of the process. Liksot is clearly not gemar melacha. If you intend to put them in to dry, then when you transact her, you're transacting at a point where there is no gemar melacha. Zelechol vezelektzot, one of them intends to eat, and one of them intends to put them away. Chayav. In all these cases, you're chayav. What is this Mishnah saying? This Mishnah is saying that mikach, transacting, works even without gemar melacha. Without gemar melacha, you are chayav. Rabbi Yehuda omer, lechol chayav, liksot patur. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you tend to eat them, then you're chayav because you have gemar melacha. Liksot, you are patur because there you do not have gemar melacha. So that's, again, we're coming to Lafuke, this Mishnah, which says that gemar melacha is not needed for mekach to be koveya. We believe that you have to have gemar melacha in order for mekach to be koveya. So that's what's being said by Rabbi Yochanan, that he's proving from that Mishnah that he brought, the Braita that he brought, against this Mishnah, this non-Mishnah that we have. Right, next perek. Mashilin perot derech aruba. Person can roll down his fruit, lower his fruit through the trap door or the skylight in his roof. Where were they drying the fruits? They're drying the fruits on the roof. Their roofs were flat. They dry the fruits on them. And then they had an opening on the roof. So if he wants to just remove them from the roof, he could just slide them all into the door and it'll fall into the house. Why would he want to do that? It's starting to rain. If he leaves it out there in the rain, they're going to ruin the fruits that are drying out there. So what do you want to do? He wants to quickly move them in. There is a dispensation, it's an amazing thing. The Chachamim gave a dispensation on Yom Tov, that if you have a hefsed meruba, that even though these items are muksa, we let you push them in and put them into the house, as long as it's not extensive what you have to do. Now here's clearly not extensive, is because you just have to roll them and they fall into the house. Avalo b'Shabbat. That's not true on Shabbat. This dispensation doesn't exist on Shabbat. Umichasim peirot b'kelim mipnei adelef. If you have a drip, it's raining and the house has a leak in it, and it's dripping into the house, you can cover over the fruits with a keli. V'chein kadeh yayin v'kadeh shemen. Same with barrels of wine and shemen, you can cover them up. V'notnim kli tachat adelef b'Shabbat. On Shabbat, you can even put a kli to capture the water that's dripping. So you can't protect the fruits or the other items, but what you can do is to put up a kli to catch the drip and catches the water in it. Right now, we're only going to deal with the first half of the Mishnah, or the first piece of the Mishnah now. Itmar, Rav Yehuda v'Rav Notan. They have machloket here between Rav Yehuda and Notan. What is the girsa in our Mishnah? Chadantani mashilin, that the Gerson mission is mashilin, v'chadantani mashchilin. And one of them says it is mashchilin. So, Amar Marzutra, ma'adantani mashchilin lo mishdavish. The one who says mashchilin is not making a mistake. Ma'adantani mashchilin, and the one who says mashchilin is also not lo mishdavish. Ma'adantani mashchilin is not making a mistake, lo mishdavish tichtiv. Because the pasuk says, ki ishal zeitecha. Ki ishal zeitecha is when your olives will fall off the tree. It's part of the tochecha. Yishal zeitecha means that your olives will drop their fruits prematurely. So over here, mashilin means to drop. So that's what it means here, to drop them through the skylight. Mandatani mashchili no mishtabesh. Mishchilin is also, it's not, hashachul v'hakasul. Hashachul and kasul, what are they? So the Mishnah tells us. Hashachul, this is in Bechorot, these are the mumim in a Bechor. It's Parshat HaShavua and more, we just read about the mumim in animals that are korbanot. Here in the mumim, one of them is a shachul. Shachul is shenishmita yirechol, that he dislocated his hip or his thigh. They're uneven. So if you look from behind, you can see that the thighs are uneven. And the case of shachul is that it's dislocated from its place, meaning it's shifted down. So that's exactly again, mashchilin means to shift down. And so too, that could be a proper word to use in our Mishnah. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, mandatani mashirin lo mishtabesh, mandatani mashchirin lo mishtabesh. Mandatani manshirin lo mishtabesh. There's three other lashonot in the Mishnah, and all of them are fine, and I'll show you why. Each one of these lashonot we can find means a similar item to what we mean here, which means to roll down or to remove something. So now the Gemara goes through each one of these. Mandatani mashirin lo mishtabesh. The one who says that it's mashirin is not making a mistake. That's not. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, Nazir lo yachof rosho ba'adama. Nazir may not rub his hair with dirt, some sort of shampoo or cleaning of his hair. Because he removes the hair. By doing that, when shampooing and rubbing his head, hair is going to fall out. And that's a problem for the Nazir. And it's not davar shein with kavein, it's a pasuk reishit. Because by definition, when you do that to your hair, it's always going to fall out. So if that's the case, you're doing a pasuk reishit, it's not davar shein with kavein, and you can't do this. But what do you see the word mashir means over here? Mashir means to drop, to take off. The hair falls out when you do it, to remove it. So too in our Mishnah. Matatani mashchirim lo mishtabesh. The one who says mashchirim is also not making a mistake. That's not. Hashchor vazug shel saparim. The shchor, Rashi claims, is a razor. Hazug is the scissors of saparim, of the barbers. Alpha pish nechluku, even though they split in half, tmeim, meaning that in a scissor you have two blades. So even though the blades separated from each other, they're still considered a keli. Each blade independently has value and can be used as a kli. Therefore, they remain tamei. By the shchor, it's a little questionable. Rashi doesn't say what happened here. Tosfot explains that Rashi meant that the handle falls away from the razor. So the handle is tamei, and so is the razor separately. Tosfot says, I don't understand what the handle is useful for without the razor. So therefore, Tosfot explains that they're both talking about scissors. A shchor is a small pair of scissors, and a zug is a large pair of scissors. And why is a razor called a shchor? So Rashi tells you over here, what does a razor do? It cleans off. It removes all the hair. So it destroys or takes off the hair. So that's why it's called a shchor. Same thing with the small scissors versus the finer scissors and the big scissors. It removes that which is there. So therefore, mashchirin in the Mishnah would mean to remove or clear out that which is there. So that would be also good lashon. Mantani manshirin lo mishtabesh titnan. Mishnah shu kelav b'mayim. Someone whose kelim dropped into the water. Malech lehem veino choshesh. He can put them on, wear them, walk them, and not worry that people think he laundered his clothing on Shabbat or Yom Tov. You can wear them and let them dry off as he's walking. Inami, mihadatnan, we can bring it from here. Ezu leket. What's considered to be leket? I know share b'shat ktsira. Something that falls off while you're harvesting, that falls away from you. So again, here, the word no share means to fall. But Tosafot points out over here, mishinashu kelab b'mayim, makes it sound like what happened here was his clothes fell into the water. Now, Rashi, in the Gemara, when we quote this in Shabbat, says nashu means that he got soaked from the word shriya. Shriya means to get soaked. You walk through the water and your clothes got soaked. That's how they became wet. Tosafot says from here, it's clear that that's not the case. The Gemara thinks that nashru means they fell, not that they got soaked. It's from a lashon to fall, not a lashon of soaking. Tosafot in the end says maybe not. That's why the Gemara brought in inami. Why in this one case did they bring two proofs? The answer might be because the first one's not a proof. If you believe the nashru in that Mishnah and Shabbat means that you got soaked and not that it fell off, then you need another proof to the fact that nashru means to fall, and that's why they brought the second Mishnah. And that might actually support Rashi's interpretation of the word nashru being to soak rather than to fall. And now, next. Nan. Mashilim pero derech aruba b'yom tov. You're allowed to throw the fruits down through the skylight on Yom Tov. Ad kama. How much? What is the quantity of fruits? Yeah, what is the limit of what you do over here? Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Asiv, Amar Ilo, Amar Rabbi Yassi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Koto Shoshanino, like we learned in Shabbat, Mifanim, you're allowed to clear out Arba V'chamesh Kupot Shel Tevin, four or five baskets full of straw, V'shel Tzvua, or of grains, Mipnei Orochim, U'mipnei Bitul Beit Midrash, for the guests, or to make room for the Beit Midrash, for the students to learn. Gemara says, okay, so you think that that's the limit over here? The same limit will apply over here. Gemara says, V'dil Meshani Hotom. Maybe it's different over there. De'ika bitul beit midrash. Over there, there's bitul beit midrash. Shavahocha, de'leka bitul beit midrash. Well, maybe over here, where there's not any loss in terms of learning, maybe we won't give such a great dispensation. Over here, it's just a hefsei mamon. Maybe you don't get as great a dispensation. Where it says, inami, ha'tomayinu time with the abril chamesh kubot, ha'shari mishum shabbat. Dichamira lo alte lezuzulebe. Maybe over there it's because it's Shabbat, and Shabbat has a certain amount of chumrah to it because there's nothing mutar in Shabbat. So we allow you to do that amount because you're not going to be mezalzel in Shabbat because you can't do any melachot on Shabbat. For Yom Tov dekil, that's why we have getting the mesecta. We said that Yom Tov has muktzah even though Shabbat doesn't have muktzah according to Rabbi. For exactly this reason, since there are many malachot that are mutarot, then ate lezuzuze, people are coming mizals in it. So klalu klalu, then you can't do it at all. Here it's a question what that means, because we have in the Mishnah, it says you can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it at all? It's clear that you can do some amount, so here's the question of how much. So whether klalu klalu means literally none at all, and that is a supposition of the Gemara here that you can't do it at all, even though the Mishnah says you can do it. Or klalu klalu doesn't mean entirely not, but just doesn't mean not at the level of Shabbat. Inami lidach kisa. You could argue the other way. Halt the time of the lucky hefsed mamon. In Shabbat, there's no monetary loss. That's why we limit you. Of a halchag hefsed mamon. Here, there's a huge monetary loss. I feel tu banami. Maybe you can do even more. Haltam tznan. Over there, it says of a lo eta otsar. That you're not allowed to clear out the otsar. What does that mean? Vamar shmol, my aval lo et otsar. You're allowed to take out four or five baskets, but not the otsar. That means, aval lo yigmor et otsar kulo. If those four or five baskets clear out the entire silo, you can't do this. Delma atalesh vuye gumot. Because then you're going to reach the bottom, and you're going to have cracks and things there, and you're going to smooth it out. So we don't want you clearing off the base, because then you're going to get visibility into the bottom of the otsar. So hachamai, over here, what's the case? Hatam hudish shabbat asur mishim de chamir. Over there, by Shabbat, we say it's asur because that's chamur. Of a yom tov dekiyo, shapir dami. But maybe yom tov that's kal, we will allow you to take out from the otsar, all the way to the bottom. Oh, tilma hotam deika bitul beit midrash, amart lo. Over there, by bitul midrash, we say no. Hocha deleka bitul midrash, lo koshukain. So over there, where you had bitul beit midrash, we said you can't go to and clear out to the bottom of the otsar. Over here, where you don't have bitul beit midrash, certainly you can't clear out the bottom of the otsar because you don't have that dispensation. You're allowed to put them in through the Aruba and Yom Tov. You're only doing it on that roof itself. If your roof is adjacent to your friend's roof, and they're all flat, and he has a skylight, you can't push him to his skylight to drop them in. To get him out of the rain. So he doesn't have a skylight, but your friend does have a skylight. We have a bracha that supports that statement of Rabbi Nachman. You're not allowed to move them from one roof to another roof. Even if they're on the same plane. So you're just rolling them and pushing them along. It should make no difference whether it's your gag or the other guy's gag. It's like one big gag. So over there by Shabbat, what's the din? Maybe over here, Yom Tov is kal. And that's why we limit you to only keep it on one roof. About Shabbat, and Shabbat, where it's chamor, and people won't make a zilzul out of it when you allow them to do things, shapir dami, you could move it from roof to roof. Oh, tilma ma'ahocha dika hefseid peirot amar tlo. Over here we have hefseid mamon, we still said you can't go from roof to roof. Hotam talaka hefseid peirot. Over there where there's no hefseid mamon, lokoshkein, certainly you can't do it. Hocha tanya, over here we have a breita. Lo yishal shalem bechevel bechalonot. If on the roof there's no skylight, but rather you have walls around the roof, and in the walls there are windows. So you could pull them up with a rope and then drop them down into your house. You'll raise them up to that window and then lower them into the house with the rope. Below your redeemed derech sulamot, or if you have stairs there, can you take out the stairs and roll them down the ladder or the stairs? Only if it's a skylight where it's level and you can just roll them in. That's when it's mudar. If you have to lift them up or do any other work, we don't allow it. So hotamai. Over there by Shabbat, what's the din? Here there's no bitul beit midrash. So we say to you, only if they're level and it's on the skylight, you can roll them in. But with Shabbat, you can bitul beit midrash, shapir dami. You can even lift them up. You can take them up the rope, put them into the window. You can put them up the stairs or the ladder and take them down.
Is the bitul beit midrash assuming that they're learning on top of the roof?
Normally, went out to the fields where they were storing grains and stuff like that because that was an open place where they had room and they learned. Their beit midrash was out in the field. So it's an open place, nobody's going to bother them. So you could answer that the roof here also is the same thing. It's a place where nobody goes. So it's a place where you can seat a lot of people, and it can clear out an area for people to sit. Oh, Dilma, hochadik hefseid peirot, amar klo. Here we have hefseid mamon, yon yom tov, you say you can't do this. Hatam lach hefseid peirot, over there, there's no hefseid mamon lo. Kol shukain, certainly you can't do it, teiku. All these questions will leave us a take, and we don't know how to move from Shabbat to Yom Tov over here. We have a din by Yom Tov that says, number one, that you can lower them from the roof, and you can push them into the Arubah. You can't take them from roof to roof, you can't put them through a chalon, and you can't put them on a sulam or use a chevel. That's all true by Yom Tov. Question is that true by Yom Tov and by Shabbat as well? We don't know. We don't know if we can extrapolate from Yom Tov to Shabbat. By Shabbat, we have dinim, we have a limit, arba v'chamesh kupot. Your four or five baskets is your limit, and you can't go to the bottom of the otsar. That's true by Shabbat. Is that also true by Yom Tov? We don't know, again, because you can differentiate between Shabbat and Yom Tov, both directions. You can say one is chamur and one is kal, or one is kal and one is chamur. And since we don't know, we can't make an extrapolation from one to the other. We know what's true by Shabbat. We know what's true by Yom Tov. We don't know if we can cross between them, and that's why everything's left as a teiku. Okay, we'll stop over here.